This is the Kids Health Network, the health and psychology podcast for parents and carers of children.
The Kids Health Network is brought to you by GP and my daddy, Dr. Andrew Leach. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
The hospital experience can vary greatly for children. It depends on the condition they are admitted for, their age, how long they need to stay in hospital, versus whether it is a quick emergency visit. Whatever the case, taking a child into hospital is pretty scary and stressful. There's noisy alarms going off in the night, pain medications that you need to force down their throat, doctors and nurses who could be a little bit scary at times, and your child may not have seen them before. There's a possibility of tests which can be invasive. And it made me think, what is the best way to prepare a child for a hospital stay? Can this experience ever be positive? Registered nurse and student doctor, Marie, is a pediatric trained nurse who works at a children's hospital. Her main interest area is on the respiratory ward, so she would be seeing lots of sick children. She is very passionate about improving the hospital experience for children and their families. Thanks for joining us, Marie.
Anytime, Andrew.
So, Marie, tell us about the role you currently have in the hospital.
Yeah, so basically I'm trained as a respiratory nurse, and our specialty kind of covers respiratory but also general medicine, some endocrinology as well, and specialise in infants as well, because respiratory and infants tend to kind of go hand in hand. And currently I'm kind of floating around the whole hospital, so I'm getting to see a lot of different specialties, but respiratory is definitely my bread and butter. Yeah.
So I'm guessing some of the main things you would be seeing are children with bronchiolitis, yeah. Croup, asthma, chest infections. Is that sort of the main sort of stuff you would see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Occasionally the pneumonias as well, and then kind of on the other sides as well, with the general medical sides, even the sepsis and those kind of more generalised infections as well kind of come through. Mm. Yeah.
What's it like working at a children's hospital?
Oh, it's amazing. I think being able to work with kids and their families is a real honour. And I guess seeing kids get better is just the best thing. They really light up your day, and they're not vicious like us adults. So, no, it's really rewarding, and I really enjoy it.
And kids respond well to treatment.
Yeah.
Usually. I'm sure you've seen some more difficult cases, but children are resilient, aren't they?
Absolutely. They have such a fight in them, and something that would probably knock over an adult quite seriously, kids can bounce back from relatively well. There are exceptions to that, but we're obviously, most of the time, we're actually very
successful.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of faith in that as well. So kids come in and we almost are like, yeah, you're going to get better. And we're quite confident that most kids will.
So I wanted to go into the whole experience of a child having to go into hospital. And it's probably a thing that most parents would hope doesn't happen, but it does, and it can. And it's nice to be a little bit prepared mentally for what could happen. So when a child goes into hospital, what do parents sort of experience, or what should they expect, you know, as a standard stay, or as, you know, what sort of things happen in your ward that you parents might be unaware of when they get there?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And I guess the specificities do depend on where they end up going, whether it's, you know, medical or surgical. But I'd say the thing that goes across all of it is be prepared for your routine to be absolutely demolished. That's the worst part of hospital. You establish a routine, children love routines, that's how you get through your day, and you go to hospital and it's gone.
That bath time and book time's done.
Exactly. And your nurse will be coming in, you know, 4-hourly at the minimum, taking your kids' obs. That includes overnight. So they could get woken. Hopefully they're not, but you know, it's
has
a reality.
To be done, doesn't
exactly.
It?
Medications, doctors' rounds, these are all things that are going to just mess with that routine, and there's not a lot you can do about it. So it's just kind of being prepared that that's going to happen. But that being said, there is a wealth of, I guess, resources. So there's like all of the Starlight people, or, you know, I guess that's specific to my hospital, but there are lots of people that come in and try to play with the kids, bring toys, and you're also more than welcome to bring some things from home that are like home comforts, if that's going to keep the child comfortable, your own toys, your own blankets, you know, that kind of stuff as well can really help. But yeah, and it's going to be a lot of equipment. It's going to be maybe confronting for the child, or maybe the child might find it really interesting and want to play. I guess that depends on the temperament. But a lot of the hospitals these days, and especially the hospital that I work at, is quite colourful and tries to be as, you know, kid-friendly as possible.
I think we've come a long way with hospitals and how they're set up for kids. Yeah. I was hearing from another nurse that it used to be that parents had to abide by visiting rules and come just for that 2 or 3 hours during the day and then leave the child, and I can't imagine what that was like. So that wasn't that long ago that, you know, we've come from that and probably quite sterile environments to very kid-friendly environments, as you say, Starlight Foundation. What sort of things does Starlight do?
Oh, they're amazing. They'll come around every Friday. We have like a big, like, what's it called? It's a, A rack, not a raffle. I can't even think of the word.
That's okay.
You
is that the Starlight TV or the radio?
Yeah, they've got a radio and they've got a TV. So they will always have something going so the kids can like log on to these I've got massive TVs in their rooms. And they can log on. Oh, bingo. That's what I was going to call it. Bingo. they come round. They'll have like guitars. They'll sing to the kids. They're all dressed up in like amazing costumes. And they'll just sit down with the kids, have a play, have a talk. And then if the kid can leave the room, they'll always invite them up to the Starlight room. We have an amazing, almost floor dedicated to where kids can play, hang out, and even a little space for teenagers to, you know, watch movies and kind of just feel like a normal kid. And they're all about that, just trying to play, have fun, keep doing the things that they would normally do at home. So yeah, they're an amazing resource. Yeah,
makes it a bit more fun for you as well, working in that sort of environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it would be hard for children because they're going from being active and mobile and having areas to play at home and outside to being fairly inactive, and at sometimes, you know, the post-surgical kind of kids have to be in bed basically. I know it would be hard having that child trapped in bed. What do you do? How do you handle that? And I'm sure parents have to just resort to television at times as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you feel for them because you're telling them, don't touch that, don't touch this, don't do that, but now I need to do these things to you. And the kid's very confused. It's a very different environment. And so I guess you kind of negate that through lots of communication and doing what's best for that child. So if that child is going to be happy watching telly in bed, then I'm happy. It's whatever that I can do for that kid, and that kid can also stay, you know, healthy and all those, you know, keep that in mind. But hey, if it's TV, it's TV.
So this is a tricky one, and I'm not sure, we might have to answer this together. But if a child is going to be having surgery, elective surgery, how should parents communicate to the child about what's going to be happening and the experience they might have? And this would depend on age group as well.
Yeah.
So the younger little kids, I mean, there's only so much you can do really to prepare them for this without making them have nightmares. And the older kids might be more open to discussing what's going to happen. But what have you seen anything work really well in this sort of area of discussing what's happening, procedures and invasive things like injections? Like what works?
Yeah, that's a really good, really good question. And I think the one thing that I've always seen work, especially in the little ones, is you can tell them about the procedure, but that's not going to really do much because they're not even awake for the procedure, right? So you can tell them it's going to happen, and that's all well and good, but I think most of the anxiety comes from the induction process, right? It's a bunch of adults standing around you in a really cold room, and they're putting a mask on your face, right? That's the scary part. So I've always thought, found really, really helpful is if the kid has a teddy or a toy, is giving, we can give them like a little induction mask. I mean, we've got them lying around, and the child can place it on the teddy and kind of instruct, would you like to put the teddy to sleep, okay? And if they engage with that, it's fun, it's playful, and then they can try putting it on themselves. And then you can try the parent. Can I have a go? Can I put it on your face? And I found that as a really good strategy, because that's the last thing they remember, is having this mask placed on their face. And if they've played with it, they're comfortable, they've touched it, often there's a lot less anxiety around this device that's going onto their face. And when they wake up, I know at my hospital, the moment that we start to rouse a child, we immediately call for the parents. So usually the parents are there when the kid wakes up, and they're there to soothe. But it's really that induction process that tends to give a lot of anxiety. And I'd say if you know the child's going to come out with a catheter, or they're going to come out with lines, you could probably talk about that you might come out with those things, and that might just prepare them a bit. But often when they come out, they're also a bit confused anyway. So
my three-year-old just had tonsillectomy. We decided to tell her basically on the day, I don't know, rightly or wrongly, and I think that probably worked better for her and her personality style, because, you know, anxiety would have kicked in days before if we were to start briefing her. But I was really impressed with the surgical side in terms of how they interact with the children and use those inductions as more of a play experience. So they'll talk about this being, you know, magic strawberry powder that they're giving the child, and it actually does smell like strawberries. And
it's yummy.
Yeah, it is. Sounds good. And then that, as you say, it's the last thing they sort of remember, and they don't have to deal with the injections and things. And then afterwards, we had, with the injections, little lights on them, which was part of the you know, the monitoring. But they talked about that being fairy lights, and she was fascinated in the end. But, you know, I know that sort of worked out okay, but there are times where it's a bit of chaos and a lot of fear and anxiety in that part of the surgery. And I guess the anaesthetists are pretty well trained at dealing with that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And if at all, I always have stickers in my back pocket, you know, because sometimes
stickers work well.
Yeah, you've got a needle, and a needle's a needle. So, you know, sometimes you just got to reward afterwards, be like, you did such a good job, and just sticker them up.
I think you probably answered the next question, but we've talked about surgical side. What about hospital? If a child has to go into hospital for an extended period, how could parents brief them about that or prepare them for that experience? Is it play therapy again? Is it just being honest and you know, trying to let them know that this is what might happen so they're aware of it? Or is it best just to wait and see?
Look, that is the golden question, right? I guess, yeah, it completely depends on the personality of your child. And I think for some children, it's best to just go in there and flight blind, because if you let them know that nurses are going to come in and inject things with them, they're just going to constantly, you know, be on edge. And there are children, particularly young ones, when I walk into the room and they see the colour of my uniform, because it's very bright, they just cry. You know, they just know. They just, and you're like, oh my God, no.
And you're a really friendly nurse.
And it just breaks your heart, right? But then I think there is actually a lot of benefit, even just to the idea of, you know, there are going to be people that are going to come in and they're going to want to do things like you take your blood pressure or your temperature. And if they're aware that those things are going to happen, that's such a common thing, like taking OBS, such a common thing that if they're aware that that's going to happen, usually that process can be a lot easier, and that's such a common thing. So I often try, especially with kids who are quite anxious, is to pass off some of the, I guess, responsibility to them. You know, can you take this thermometer and put it under your armpit for me? Like, wow, you're doing such a great job. You know, kids want to get involved with this stuff. Or, you know, can you lift up your arm for me? Let's test your muscles. You know, that kind of talking.
And it's on their terms.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
And what about giving them medicine? How do you go with that?
Oh, yeah. Look,
it's a bit of a nightmare.
It is, especially when it's really yucky. So often it's a conversation with the parents, right? Because some parents are like, let me do it. And they know they're just going to hold their kid and, you know, they know what to give them afterwards. And then other ones will be like, no, I think you should do it. And I'm more than happy to do that. And it's often, can I get you an orange juice or an apple juice that you can drink right after? And it's just lots and lots of praise. You know, this is going to make you better. This is going to help you get out of hospital sooner.
There's some horrible tasting medicines. I don't know how they haven't worked out how to make them flavored.
I know.
Do you recommend mixing medicine with chocolate milk or juice, or is it best to get it over and do it?
I would say get it over with. And maybe that's the hospital nurse in me.
Yeah.
But it's difficult, unless you know that child is going to drink the entire volume of liquid and you're certain, no, my child will drink that, I'm very reluctant because then dosing can get altered. So I'm very much just shoot it in and drink whatever you like afterwards, because if that kid doesn't drink the whole thing, then you've missed on maybe a dosing that that child needed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought when we were in with our daughter, they were saying putting it towards the side and back of the mouth.
In the cheek sometimes,
Leaves them little chance to try and vomit it back up or spit it back up. And I thought that worked quite well. But it was a bit of cruel to be kind, you know. She hated getting it. We hated giving it, but it had to be done. And so there was a bit of this sort of holding down kind of stuff. And unfortunately, that's not ideal, but it is what it is. We have to get it in, and it makes a big difference to recovery.
I think that's actually a really important point, because sometimes seeing your child struggle and to force something onto them is really hard when that is your child. And I think the one thing that nurses and probably doctors in that field, we see it so often, we kind of get, you know, a bit not accustomed to it, I say. But, you know,
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Because you are comfortable and you are confident and and you'll do it. And I think kids, like, need that in a way.
Yeah, a bit of a stern, like, this is what's going to happen.
If you're a bit nervous and a bit fearful and a bit, you know, anxious about it, so you do have to put on a front. And I guess that's good for parents to know that, you know, inside you crumbling. But be firm and be confident that you're doing the right thing for your child.
Yeah, and that a lot of other parents are going through the exact same thing. So it's not just you as you're forcing your child and you're doing a bad thing. It's like, oh, no, but this happens across the hospital. Kids don't want meds. It's a really normal thing. And sometimes we just have to, be cruel to be kind, and they'll be better for it and they'll forget it.
The reason I wanted to talk to you today is because you are very driven to making hospitals better for parents and kids, and it's something we talked about before this podcast. So what tips do you have that you found helps for engaging children in a hospital setting? How do you teach them about blood tests, blood pressure checks, drips? I think you probably mentioned this already along the way, but you know, do you have any funny analogies that you use for telling a child they're going to have their blood pressure checked or have a drip put in, or is there anything else about making this whole experience more positive for parents? And what should parents do when they're in hospital to try and make it easier?
Good question. So I always go by the golden rule is never lie to a child. So if a procedure is going to hurt, I will never say that it won't hurt, because you completely lose their trust, and that's just not fair. IVs, because they are very painful, usually it's, this is going to hurt, and that's about as much as I talk about it, because you don't want to increase anxiety over something. Try to keep them distracted and be as quick as you can. Things like blood pressures, which are the most invasive of all the obs, I usually try to make fun. So I'll kind of say, like, you know, how strong are you? Can you, you know, rip this thing off your arm? Come on, show me your muscles. Just try to make it a bit fun. And then usually taking heart rate, rest rate, temperature, kids are pretty okay with and they're pretty used to it. I just try to make it as fun as possible.
And what about the parents? What can they do? What if they're worried about what's going on? They're nervous, you know, that something's not being done properly. They're worried about their child in the hospital. They want help. Who do they talk to? Do they just talk to you? Do they ring the bell? Do they ask to talk to the doctor? How does it work?
Yeah, so your nurse is your advocate. So when you're allocated a nurse, that is your nurse for that 8-hour, 12-hour, whatever shift. If you're concerned, let them know. Ring that bell. That's what we're there for. We're there to look after you and your child. This is probably the biggest thing that I have and the biggest thing I want to let parents know is we're here for you. So if you're like, hey, I really want to bath my kid, but I only do it in the afternoons. What time works for you? Can we work out something? I'm like, oh my goodness, yes. Like, okay, I've got these medications due at this time, but this works for me. Does that work for you? I think that it's really important for nurses to be flexible, right? Because we're here for you, right? Start that conversation. And if you don't feel like you're being listened to, escalate it. Just say, hey, do you mind if I speak to the shift coordinator, right? Or do you mind if I speak to the nurse manager? Can I speak to the doctors? They'll come around in the morning. But just keep going up. If you are concerned, I can't stress enough, tell us. Tell us why you're concerned. Often, more often than not, it's an educational opportunity, right? It's that you're worried about something and we've just missed it. We've missed the boat. We haven't told you. We haven't communicated our plan properly to you. And that's our bad. And we need an opportunity, another opportunity to properly explain it to you. And I always say to my parents, even if you don't get it and you want to ask me a million times, because more often than not, you are sleep deprived, you're stressed, you're probably hungry, you've probably been told the plan, but it's gone in one ear and out the other. You've got a, you know, sick kid, and that's fair enough. So just ask. Ask as many questions. And even if you think they're silly, they're not.
I agree. No question is silly.
Yeah.
The morning ward round can be quite quick. Yes. The doctors might use some jargon, you know, about what's going on, and even talk to themselves about what's going on. And you might catch some of that and think, oh, this is something important. I should be knowing about this. So, you know, from a medical side, a doctor's side, I think there is a whole team looking after you.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't just got one person that you can call on, but there's probably an intern or there's a resident who's a more junior doctor who could easily come around and try and spend a bit more time with you if the pediatrician themselves or the consultant is, you know, busy. But I think you know be aware of that there's multiple points of contact, and you shouldn't feel isolated or alone in this. So I really like what you had to say about that. It's really good. And gives parents hope that the hospital experience is not necessarily going to be a negative experience. So I think we've covered a lot of what I wanted to talk about today. Maybe just to finish off, like, what are some of the challenges of being a pediatric hospital nurse?
Oh, some of the challenges. I guess it's that you're not just looking after one patient. You really are looking after the patient and their family, and that can be so diverse. I really sometimes feel like I've got multiple patients, and that can be quite draining because you're kind of juggling a lot of different personalities. Kid who is just wanting to get out and go home, and maybe mum who's really stressed, and maybe dad who's got work but he's taking it off, and oh my goodness, there's so many pressures, right? And you've got other kids at home. So it can be very stressful, and children, I guess, who are in pain, it's hard. It kind of breaks your heart to see. So yeah, I think the challenges of dealing with, you know, little people, where they're not little adults, they are very different. You're always on your toes, and every day is very new, and I don't think you can apply a formula to any child, especially when you have so many different ages. So I think that's, yeah, the most challenging part.
Along with probably having some of those times where treatment is not successful, children suffer, you know, they're in pain, and potentially things are become complicated.
Absolutely.
And I bet that can be overwhelming and emotional for the team. What about, just to, you know, as a positive finish, what are the most rewarding aspects of working in a pediatric hospital?
There are so many, but I'd have to say the one big thing is when, you know, a child presents, and if they're hospitalized, they're obviously quite unwell, and they're grumpy and they don't want to play and they're not eating and they're not smiling and they're just feeling rubbish. And being able to see them on the day of discharge, smiling, happy, playful, and their parents are just breathing a sigh of relief, being like, this is my child. This is why I was so worried. And you see them and you're like, oh my goodness, you are such a happy child. Like, now I see why, you know, your parents are so worried. And it's just so lovely to see them happy, leaving the hospital and just going, yes, that is just the best part about my job. Just seeing happy, healthy children leave. It's amazing.
You know you've done your job then.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, Marie. It's been fantastic talking to you, getting a true insight into the world of the hospital and what roles different team members might have. And I think it'll be really useful for parents. So I really appreciate your time today, Marie.
Anytime, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. Andrew here. Find out more about this episode and others, as well as resources that I've found to be useful, at my own new website, drandrewleach.com.